The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
And now we cross over to Dr. Andrew Danu as we begin Diabetes and You. Good afternoon to you, Dr. Danu.
Good afternoon, Tasca. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, good. And I'm glad to hear your voice. I'm glad that you're here on the tail end of your shift. And I think we'll be joining soon. Is it based today or
yes,
do we have Tari?
It will be based today.
Based today. I know base is back. So we'll have base in a bit. But I do want to welcome all listeners and our viewers because we are broadcasting live on our Facebook page on the Diabetes Association. Or the Diabetes Association's Facebook page. As I usually do before we do introduce our guests, and we have a particularly interesting topic this week, I would like to first tell our listeners about what's going on in the association. So we are continuing our diabetic eye screening program, and we are going to be having, actually tomorrow in Aranjuez, we do still have some spots available. If you're living in Aranjuez, we have free diabetic eye testing with the Trinidad Eye Hospital at the Aranjuez Community Council. Community Council, Mehilal Street, Aranjuez, Sawa. So you can, if you are living with diabetes or even not living with diabetes and would like to have that dilated eye exam free, of course, give us a call at 607-3288. That's the Diabetes Association phone number. Give us a call now and you can make that appointment. Of course, we do have other eye screening sessions throughout the country for the rest of the, well, into May. So look out for those announcements of those locations. We also have this coming Saturday, or rather Sunday 28th. There are three events that we're hosting with some of our partners to raise funds. All of these events are towards raising funds for children living with diabetes and to assist them in getting continuous glucose monitors, to assist them in getting strips and blood sugar testing devices. Those three events are, there's Run Stuff on Run, that's at 6:30 a.m. on Sunday at the Queen's Royal College. I believe that registration has ended for that, but you could still come out and support. That's with Stefan Rees. At 9 a.m., there's the golf tournament hosted by the Rotary Club of Port of Spain West. So that's going to be at Mocha Golf Course. And at 5 p.m. at O2 Park in Chagaramas, there's going to be Oxygen with Nicole. That's with Nicole Dyer Griffith. We'll be there as well. I'll be there at all of these events, and you can come out, you can get testing for free, and you can participate as well in what we're having. A reminder as well, we are having our National Diabetes School Quiz Finals on May 17th. Most likely you'll be able to hear that or see that on Freedom and maybe CNC3, so we'll give you some more details on that later on. And we are still taking registrations for our sixth form internship program. So we do have quite a lot of applicants so far, but I want to give everyone an opportunity. You do have some weeks left to sign up for that program. If you're a sixth former, upper six or lower six, and you're interested in medicine, or you're interested in getting or becoming part of the association, learning about NGO work, volunteerism, then that's for you. So that's what's happening at the association. And I know that there is a lot more. And persons can, of course, reach us through our Instagram, through our Facebook. Persons can also reach us at our phone numbers, 607-3288. So you can reach us there. Now, I want to get into our program. And I have our guest waiting for us. And again, a very interesting topic. And I met our guest, Mr. Dwarika, this week online as well. I've never met him in person, but we were also co-guests or co-hosts of a session hosted on Sunday by the ICC Indo-Caribbean Cultural Center, and I was very engrossed in the way that he would have delivered information about complementary and alternative medicines, in particular in particular acupuncture, acupressure, and some of these other methods that he has been using for a very, very long time, and alongside medical doctors, and has been using to treat and has been using to work with people with all different types of ailments, including diabetes, including addictions. So it's a very, very interesting conversation that we're going to be having today. We also, as we normally do, open up our phone line. So we'll be taking some calls and taking some messages from our listeners and our viewers. So we'll do that in the second half of the program. But I want to start, of course, by introducing our guest, Mr. Ramnaresh Dwarika. And he's a counselor, and he is a drug rehabilitation specialist, I would say, an acupuncturist. He wears a lot of hats, and he has a very long, illustrious career. So I want to introduce Mr. Dwarika to the program, and I want to start to ask him by telling us his story, telling us who he is and about his career. Mr. Dwarika, welcome to Diabetes and You on Freedom 106.5.
Thank you very much, Dr. Dhanu. It was indeed a pleasure to listen to you on Sunday as well, your presentation for the ICC. And I'm really grateful to have this opportunity to present to your listeners, you know, some information, some options that might be available to them, and hopefully add to our effort to help our brothers and sisters in Trinidad and Tobago and worldwide. Yes, who I am 77 years of age now. I was born in a small little village called Gandhi Village in Day Bay. And I'm one of 12 children to my parents. And I grew up in a very respectable home. However, I'm fortunate, you know, growing up in the countryside, you get exposed to a lot of things. And it is rightly said, you know, it takes a community to raise a child. And although my parents were very strict and very, you know, my great-grandfather was a sadhu and very religious and spiritual and so on, I was involved in a lot of community activities, even at a young age, village council and Bhagwat and so on in the countryside. When I came, I got my first job in Port of Spain, I moved to Central to live. By then, I was introduced to taking a drink with the boys and so on, you know, hiding and taking a smoke and so on. And I found in a strange community that transition from child to adult, from a schoolboy's allowance to a big man's salary. And my parents were so, you know, they said, well, look, we don't want any money from you. You save your money and, you know, and I was interested in cars. But I found, too, that, you know, when you get in a strange place, the fastest way to make friends is to socialize. And Felicity, if you have, they have actually named an alcohol after Felicity, Felicity Gold. There's one of those communities in Trinidad where there's a saying, you know, you could, if you stumble from one rum shop, you could fall in the other one. It has the most rum shops in Trinidad and Tobago. And what was a social activity on weekends gradually progressed over time to almost daily drinking. And I moved on to eventually use other drugs as well. So I am a person in recovery. And I'm saying that to say, it doesn't matter what kind of family you grow up in or what kind of children you're trying to grow up, you know, your children will also learn from the community in which they grow up, you know? And eventually it came to a head in 1983, you know, after many efforts to try to stop on my own, you know, we were taught since we were small, you're old enough to tie your shoes, now you're old enough to bed. So we always prodded by our parents and the people around us to become self-sufficient. So although I knew I had a problem with drinking and all of that, I wanted to fix it myself. And this is a problem that is so highly stigmatized in our society that you don't really readily go out for help. In fact, one remains in denial for a very long time, not thinking, because our profile of an alcoholic is a fellow who is a vagrant. And I was a vagrant. I still had a good job at the time. You know, I was working in the government and all of that, and my work was up to date. I was able to manage somehow. And that is what has given me the passion. When I stopped drinking, you know, at age 18, I left school to work. I always had the plans, great plans, to be a doctor. You understand? I wanted to study medicine, but the school I went to did not teach chemistry and physics. Mm. And I tried to do it after, but drinking and classes don't seem to work together, you know? And as a result, I never was able to complete that. However, when I stopped drinking in 1983, at age 36, I went back to school. You know, and I'm saying that deliberately, that it is never too late for anyone. I went back to school, I went back to university. And you know, in those days, Dr. Danu, if God's self had come and say, someday I will be on a program like this, mm-hmm. or doing all the other things that I have been able to do, I would have probably asked him if he drunk. So after I went to Jamaica, I did a first degree in social work. I was even admitted to law school, but I didn't pursue the law degree. I stayed with the social work, came back to Trinidad, worked as a psychiatric social worker, and my whole life changed. You know, I got involved with the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Addiction. I served as an executive member, getting to the position of president. Even as I was doing that, I was working now at Cora Hospital, the Substance Abuse Prevention and Treatment Center. And my whole life started to become centered around recovery, you know. And what I saw, I had already worked at Ward 8 in Port of Spain General Hospital in the psychiatric unit. I had done a little stint at St. Anne's Hospital. And being involved, being a person in recovery and being involved in the field of substance abuse prevention and treatment, I noticed, you know, I saw some of the weaknesses in the system. One of it continues to be that you cannot use drugs to treat drug addiction. You might use drugs to help people gradually to come off. But I have seen so many people trying to give up licit and illicit drugs, alcohol and other drugs, and then becoming dependent on the barbiturates and the other mind-altering drugs, the mood-altering drugs. And now with a bigger problem. And I'm fast-tracking this because I want to allow for questions. Mm-hmm. So one day I was on my way to St. Anne's Hospital to attend a stress management program with another colleague. And I heard that there was a guy named John Tyndall, an Englishman, who was teaching acupuncture at Dean Pier Complex to treat drug addiction. Wow, I could listen. I made a beeline. I said, okay, I'm not going to see that. I'm going to see Dean Pier. I have to see this because I'm a born skeptic, you know. I don't accept things because somebody says so. I don't care who it is. I have to see and find out for myself. I believe and I accept that experience is the greatest teacher. Mm-hmm. I went to Dean Pier. Some of my other nursing staff was there already. They had opted to go to that. And I attended that program where they put five little needles on your ears. And it is supposed to help you with all the withdrawal symptoms when you have been using drugs, alcohol, or any drug, any psychotropic drug. If you've been using it for a very long time, you know, when you're trying to stop using it, you're going to withdrawal. And a lot of people well-intentioned, well-motivated, because they can't deal with the withdrawal symptoms, they go back, they relapse. You understand? And I understood that clearly. And here was something that they could use to deal with the relapse symptoms, with all the withdrawal symptoms, that is, without getting addicted to it. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, this has to be. And then I followed it up. I had the training, I had the treatment as well, because in part of the training, you know, you have to pair off with someone and you stick the needles for them and they stick it for you. And, mm-hmm. and so I know personally, I felt very relaxed because this auricular acupuncture is very effective in dealing with depression and anxiety and all of those things. It doesn't matter what causes it, whether it be drugs or whether life situations. But still, you know, my skeptical mind wouldn't allow me to accept it. I said, you know, maybe the ambience, maybe it's the day off from work. So I went to the Bronx, the Lincoln Hospital, where it all started, where it was introduced in the U.S., and I spoke to the person who had introduced it there, Dr. Michael Smith. And after a very short conversation, he said, listen, Don't believe anything I say. Go downstairs and talk to the patients who are having the acupuncture. And I did that. And there were about 100 people in the clinic. They're all sitting very peacefully and quiet with these needles in their hands. And every one of them testified, some of them swore, that if it weren't for that, they'd be dead. Because they would have gone on to use drugs and they, you know, they would have been lost. And eventually I came back and I was able to introduce it at Cora Hospital where I worked at the time. Mind you, I met with a lot of opposition. We had just had the eggnog scandal at St. Anne's, if you remember, many years ago. And the nurses and staff were up in arms. We're not going to do anything that is not in our job spec. So I got a lot of resistance from the medical fraternity because even now, a lot of people don't take kindly to things like alternative medicine and so on. You know, and I disagree with some of them. You know, I understand because there are so many people making all kind of spurious claims that you could drink this herb and you could do this and you could cure diabetes and you could all kinds of things. And so that people like yourself have to clear up these misconceptions, lest people go and do more damage to themselves. But as I say this, just before coming on here, I was listening to this same station, Dr. Danu, and I was hearing another presenter talking about the use of animal organs. Plant and you know the ethics of it and all of that. And I just want to say to our listeners and that about 11, 12 years ago, I was diagnosed with aortic valve problems, narrowing of the aortic valve. And I went to New York and I had a valve replacement. Mm-hmm. And I used the valve from an animal, a calf. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, they offered a pig and a calf, but being a Hindu, I decided to take the calf.
Mm-hmm.
But it is working well. And I am, that's my decision. I'm not foisting it on anyone else, but I believe it could save people's lives. So I just wanted to say that. I also want to say that my parents were both diabetics and they also were hypertensive and they both died from stroke.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the pain of their loss, but I used it as a lesson for me. So that I have been paying attention all my life to my health, and I have been able to maintain the same weight since I was 18 years old to now. And thank God, I have no diabetes or hypertension or any one of those things. You understand?
Well, Mr. Dorica, I'm so happy that you gave us that synopsis of your life and yes. Your professional accomplishments. And of course, talking about alcoholism, and I think that's a topic we're going to be delving deeper into today because it is a problem I could see affecting so many people in Trinidad and Tobago. I would say at all ages, not even adults. I mean, many young persons, many teenagers are affected by alcoholism, I think. And it's something that definitely has an impact on diabetes development because we know that excess alcohol consumption could cause fatty liver disease. It could cause overweight and obesity, and of course, it will result in impaired glucose tolerance and then diabetes. So we're going to talk about that. But what's most interesting is, of course, the methods that you've developed or the methods that you've come to use and practice along the way, which are these complementary methods. Chief amongst which is acupuncture. We're going to talk about acupuncture. But we do need to take a short break. When we do, after that break, we're going to come back and I want to ask you about acupuncture. Mm-hmm. And after you tell us about acupuncture, how it works, I know our listeners are going to have questions because I've had it done. I only had it done this year and I'll tell you about my experience. But let's take that short break, Tosca. When we come back, we will be chatting with Mr. Ramnarees Dwarika. We're talking about complementary methods to deal with diabetes and alcoholism, right here on Freedom 106.5. Tosca, over to you. Let's take that short break.
And we welcome you back to Diabetes and You with Dr. Andrew Banu.
Ramnarees Dwarika. We're talking about alternative medicines. We're talking about acupuncture. Before the break, Mr. Dwarika would have told us about his career dealing with alcoholism. Deal with alcoholism himself, and of course, being treated and now is treating persons with alcoholism, and we're going to be bringing that into the conversation. But we mentioned acupuncture, and for many persons in Trinidad and Tobago, they might be very skeptical about what acupuncture is, because they think it's, you know, Chinese medicine or ancient medicine or things that, you know, really shouldn't work or doesn't work. I'll give you my experience. Now, I've never had it done, but this year I often go to my physiotherapist, who is a good friend of mine in the association, Dr. Stacey DeGale. And I had this really, really bad shoulder pain from lifting something, and couldn't do anything, and the drugs weren't helping. And she did acupuncture. She did the electrostim acupuncture. And I wanted to tell us about that. And it was painful to start with the electrostimulation, but right after, in a few seconds, I started to be able to move my arm. And it was amazing to me that these ancient techniques now meshed with modern advancements using the stimulation now provides so much relief and can provide so much relief. So I wanted to tell us, what is acupuncture? Tell us about that electrostimulation as well that can be used. And what are some of the things acupuncture could be used for? And then we're going to open up the phone lines for some persons to ask us some questions.
Sure. So that I started learning auricular acupuncture. You know, the air, if you look at your air or you look at somebody's air, you'll see like it's like a fetus upside down. But this little part here is the baby's head, and this part up here is the butt. And all the organs of the body is represented on the air, just like it is on the hands. Reflexologists will tell you that, the sole of the feet. And now we know with the genome studies, a single cell has all the information about the whole person. Not only the physiological, but the psychological, temperamental, and everything. So that you can take one cell and clone an exact copy of that person. They've done it with sheep already. So the air is like a halogram, and that's where I started. So for drug addiction, the protocol, you put 5 needles representing the base of the spine, the kidney, the liver, the lung, the sympathetic nerve. And once you have the treatment, whether you believe in it or not, it's not like church, it works. And that is what sold me, because I knew something had happened. You understand? It makes you very calm. If you're depressed, it will bring you up. If you're anxious, it would calm you down. It sort of brings you into balance. But, so I started to treat people at the center, at St. Anne's Hospital. We trained doctors to do it. There are many doctors in Trinidad who have done the training with me, but they're not practicing it. I know a few doctors who are doing it. And it's being used right now at New Life Ministries, Mount St. Benedict. I was the person who trained the staff there to do it. I'm also certified to train people as well. However, I started treating drug addiction and then realized that you could use acupuncture for so many other things. And let's go back. If you have a tool, you use it one time, two time, and it didn't do the job, you'll just discard it and go to something else. But the mere fact that they've been using acupuncture since before Christ should have value in it. You understand? And we should keep an open mind, especially those people like us who are in the helping profession. And so I don't call it alternative medicine. That kind of gets some medical people a little bit, it ruffles their feathers. I call it complementary medicine, because I see that it can work as a complement to allopathic medicine. You understand?
But Mr. Dorica, I wanted to tell our listeners, what is acupuncture? For persons who've never seen it before, they may have seen it on TV. Describe right. The steps. Describe the steps towards getting that acupuncture, or if a patient comes to you, a client comes to you, what are the steps to actually performing this process? What is it done with?
All right, so you have needles. I don't know if you could see the needles here on the screen, but there are different sizes of needles. There's long ones that you do in depth treatment. There's this, let's see if I could get it. No, you can't see it really clearly here, but they have different sizes of needles. The one for the ears is probably the smallest. And these needles, the shaft is made with steel, the handle is made with silver. That's why they're a little bit expensive, because the silver allows it to be twined as a wire to make a handle. And there's no medicine in it. But the acupuncturist must know the meridians, where They're just like we have a circulatory system, we have a nervous system, we have a lymphatic system. Now we know all of these. 200-300 years ago, we were not aware of these things. So too now we know there's a meridian system that facilitates the movement of energy. And you can do it through motion like Tai Chi and Qigong. You could also tap into it through yoga and meditation. And also you can use the needles. The needles are put like on junction boxes that trigger the energy movement to that area. But let me just go back to the example, your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you put the needle, a foreign object anywhere in a human body, what is going to happen? You're going to cause a reaction. The blood is going to rush to that area because something has happened. And when the blood rush to that area, it don't come empty-handed, as we say. It will bring all the anti-inflammatories, all the healing medication that the body produces, the analgesics and everything. So you are going to get some relief. But when an acupuncturist put it, you are more likely to get the proper treatment because it is put on the correct meridians. Now, with long ago, before now, when you put a needle, you had to sit and twirl it, you know, to get the effect. And that was long and arduous. And then they came up with something called moxa. It's like a cigar made from herbs that you light, and it gives a certain temperature of heat, and you could heat the needles. It's called pecking. But now we have these machines, and I have a few of them in my clinic, that you can attach electrodes to that send a graduated stimulation, electrical stimulation. So you have physical acupuncture and you have electroacupuncture. And this enhances the treatment. So that is why immediately you could have felt some results. But even so, I don't want people to live with a misconception that acupuncture is magic, it's immediate. Yeah. Actually, my experience is it takes longer to get the effect than allopathic medicine. If you take a tablet, you get an effect much faster. But I know I might be probably ruffling some people's feathers, but listen, if you're driving down the highway, right? Let me start off by saying pain is a good thing. Pain is that thing in the body that tells us, hey, something is wrong. Stop, fix it. You understand? Otherwise, if we never felt pain, we'd kill ourselves. We'd never survive. So you go down the highway with your car and you see your temperature gauge go in the red, you'll pull aside. And most likely your radiator spring a leak or the hose bust. And you'll repair that, pull back the water and then start the vehicle. But if you take a nipper and go and cut the wire from the thermostat, the temperature, the needle will go back cold. But if you think, well, that has fixed the problem and start the car, you'll mash up the engine. And this is what a lot of us are doing with the painkillers. We have a problem, but because we can't stay and rest, we have to go to work, we have all the other things. So we take the painkillers that block the message that go into the brain, and then we proceed to damage the knee and the ankle and all of those things further, and then find that eventually we develop tolerance for the medication because the body does that. Whatever you're taking from outside, the body is always responding in a certain way to that, to try to neutralize it. So you develop tolerance and then the medication will not work. And these are the kind of patients I have been seeing. Even medical professionals like yourself, I have treated here with various, I have moved into treating and I've studied body acupuncture now, generalized acupuncture. And I have been treating people not only with physical problems, their hormonal, like people in the early days when I started in 1992, I was treating a lot of women for menopause problems because, you know, if you go on HRT, you run a risk of developing cancer very successfully. But then I started to treat people with the little aches and pains, lower back pain, shoulder, frozen shoulder. I have now find that I'm getting very good results with people who have gotten a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they come early, because the acupuncture with the stimulation that you got could trigger the nerve sensations from the other side. So if I put a needle down at the instep down there, put on the machine, and you're feeling it up in your head, it means that you're making connection with your brain. Mm-hmm. You know, you're keeping the nerve alive. And as a result of that, you know, atrophy don't set in. Yeah. So I'm seeing a lot of, as I mentioned on Sunday, it brings the hormones into balance, and I've been getting referrals from the fertility clinic in Barbados. for women who are trying to get pregnant, because one of the things it does is to regulate your menstrual cycle, you know, bring it back to normal. And as a result, by extension, it creates the ideal climate for pregnancy. It, by extension, the same way, it has implications for people who are diabetics, because this brings the organs into balance. It makes your kidney and your liver and your lung, all of those things work in harmony. And, you know, as a result, you can see improvement, but it's not as dramatic as surgery and all of those things.
So I mean, we're hearing all of the benefits of acupuncture and all of the diseases, all of the dysfunctions, and in particular, all of the types of pain that you're able to treat. Because in particular for people with diabetes, one of, and I think for any disease or any condition, the number one reason people will seek out health care is because of pain. But you're also making the point that, of course, loss of pain, and of course, we think of pain as protective, and that's what pain is. It is a protective sensation. Because as in the analogy that you would have given, this is what tells your body that something is going wrong or something is something you need to attend to. And if you don't have that sensation, it doesn't mean you're okay. And as you rightly said, many patients are taking medications, some of whom are now addicted to these medications, and they take any medications, but the underlying problem is still there. So we often see people with diabetic neuropathy having a lot of pain, and they're taking medications to dull the pain or to block the pain receptors, but the problem is still there. So I'm glad that you did mention that. I know that we've chatted a good bit about acupuncture, and I want to shift the topic into some of the other methods that you do, including massage, and how you work with people with diabetes. But I just want Tosca to share our phone numbers and invite persons to send us messages and give us a call if you need to. And you could ask Mr. Ramnirez Baraka a question about acupuncture, about any of the other alternative methods or complementary methods that he has. So, Tosca, can you share those numbers with us?
The numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257, and the WhatsApp number is 306-1065.
Thanks. So if we do have a call or a message, we'll patch that through. We'll direct that to Mr. Baraka. Well, Mr. Baraka, in the meantime, you've been talking about acupuncture. Now, I know there are other methods that you use, including massage, including other things that you may be using. But can you tell us a little bit more about some of the other complementary methods that may be employed or may work here?
All right. Let me say this. I am professionally, originally trained as a social worker. That's my forte, counseling and psychotherapy. And I have, over the years, explored every kind of development I could get opportunity to.
So can you hold that thought and let's take a call. Let's take a call and then we'll come back to it.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Like, we lost the call. 627-3223, 625-2257, and 306-1065 for your WhatsApp messages.
So if we get the call again, Tosca, if you just interrupt.
Actually, it's coming in right now. So let's take it. Hello?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I would like just to say a word to Mr. Dwarika.
Sure.
Mr. Dwarika, good afternoon.
Yes.
I was your patient many years ago. I think it was in maybe 96. You would probably remember me. I'm not giving names. You remember me from Lange Park. So I want to tell you, I became much better, but I'm interested in sending my sister. So I was wondering if you were still in the same care. Is it Karen Savannah Road?
No, I'm in Felicity, Kakandi Road, Felicity.
Kakandi, sorry. Okay, so I guess you'll put your number in the on air, right?
Yeah, okay, sure.
Okay, and best wishes.
And thank you for calling.
I had given you a white orchid.
All right, okay.
I just a hint to remember me.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Yes, I have been in this practice, Dr. Danu, since 1992. And I have seen thousands of patients. And I was going to say that I'm not only trained in acupuncture. I didn't want to take up much time, but I also teach stress management. I am an employee assistance consultant. I do counseling for the workers at UE and Port Authority and so on, for the ISPAT when they were operating and so on. I also used to be a teacher for the Art of Living Foundation. Now, I bring all of this knowledge and experience for the benefit of my patients. So when I counsel people, when I do evaluations, I'm looking not only at the person sitting in front of me, I'm looking, all human beings are bio, psycho, social, spiritual beings. So I look at the biological person, the bones, muscles, organs, see what's the problem there. The psychological person, that is, if there are emotional challenges the person is dealing with, you know, or social issues on the job. This morning I had two people that were referred from them by the employer to see me. Right?
So, I like that term. Could you repeat that term again? Bio, psycho, social, spiritual.
All of us, we have those components, and whatever happens in one area affects the other areas. And you see, one of the mistakes medicine is making, Dr. Dhanu, is that we have gone so much into specialization that one person is only looking at your eye, especially one at your ears, and we're not looking at the whole person. Mm-hmm. How the condition is impacting the person's physical mobility, lifestyle, their relationships, their relationship and their hopes and aspirations. You have to look at all of those things.
And really looking at the whole person is so important. Yes. I know that there are so many specialities now in medicine, and as you said, rightly so, there should be specialities because there's so much to learn about different ailments. But of course, often we overlook the importance of how these ailments interact with each other, and particularly with diabetes. It's very important to understand the whole person and the underlying causes, not just treat the eyes or not just treat the kidneys, but treat the person and again deal with your underlying cause. We have a couple of questions from WhatsApp, Mr. Dwarka. One is, someone wants to know if you're able to treat sclerosis with acupuncture or any of the methods that you have.
Yes, you can, because the skin is the largest organ in the body. And this morning I had a patient who didn't come for a skin problem, but I noticed it while talking to him. I said, but look, what happened with your hands? He says, well, I have this problem a long time, and I don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And so there are some things that you can do. For anyone listening with a problem, like, the first thing is you want to keep yourself properly hydrated. Mm-hmm. You know, because the weather is very hot, and if we're not drinking sufficient water, we're not keeping ourselves hydrated, then the skin itself is going to react to the sweat and all of that and could cause a problem. But it doesn't only have a physiological basis. I have had patients who come to me every time. I had one particular patient, every time he get a new contract, he would break out into a rash under his armpits and all, because it was stress related. And this is why it is important to look at the other components, because one could be contributing. You know, if we only use injection and tablet, we will not be able to fix it.
But the texter just corrected themselves. It's scoliosis.
Oh, scoliosis. All right. Well, scoliosis is it depends on, I mean, at what stage it is, right? Mm-hmm. And the last thing I want to give anybody is false hopes. Mm-hmm. You know, I am very upfront. If I could fix something, I'll tell you yes. If I can't fix it, I said no. Right, but I can't really say off the yes, if it is, you know, it is our muscles that hold our frame in a particular shape. And if any joint, and I'm saying that out to all our listeners, any joint that is giving problem, you want to get relief and fix it, you have to strengthen the muscles on both sides of that joint. So if your spine is going out of shape, you will want to strengthen your back muscles, so it can hold it. You know, your spine is like, you know, the telephone poles. You have guide wires holding it for it to fall, not fall one side, and you have the other side holding it for it. So the abdominal muscles and the back muscles hold the spine into a particular shape. You know that little curve? And if they are weak, if you neglect them, then you're setting up your spine and for scoliosis. And these days, man, the school is doing a lot of damage. Not the, I shouldn't say the school. The bags that these children are carrying, Dr. Danu, is so loaded up with books. And, you know, children are not going to walk carefully with a load on their back. They will still want to jump and run and play around, and they're hurting themselves. So I've seen a lot of children ending up with scoliosis because of the heavy book bags, and they have it only on one side all the time because they're right-handed. So these are things that I hope that our listeners listening will pay attention to and prevent.
And I like the fact that you also see that it depends on the stage, or it depends on how far along someone is. Yeah. And that if it is that you really can't help them, you'll tell them up front that this isn't treatable. A lot of times, as you started the conversation today, would have mentioned, there are many, many persons out here claiming that they can cure and deal with so many things that they're not qualified to.
And that is more damaging. That is more damaging than anything they're doing, you know?
Exactly. So I'm so glad that you did mention that. But I want us to, I know we do have to take one more break, and let's acknowledge our sponsors one more time. And just to acknowledge Boost is the sponsor for this segment today. So we'll acknowledge our sponsors one more time. We'll come back with Mr. Ramirez Dwarika. We'll take some more of your calls. We'll take some more of your questions, and we'll wrap up the conversation. Talking about acupuncture, talking about complementary medicines used, and talking about some of the methods that he's using again. So let's take that short break, Tosca. When we come back, we'll continue.
Welcome back to Diabetes on You on Freedom 106.5 FM with Dr. Andrew Danu and his guest.
Thanks, Tosca. And we're here with Mr. Ramirez Dwarika. We're talking about complementary medicines, and we're speaking about acupuncture. So before the break, we would have chatted quite extensively about how acupuncture could be used for various types of ailments. But I wanted him to tell us about some of the other methods or some of the other things that he might be using. And again, he spoke about his career as a social worker and a counselor. And I know that you did mention massage at some point in time. Is that something that you also do? Is that something that can be done, Mr. Dwarika?
I don't actually do massage sessions here. But as we mentioned it, I would like to say anyone, I know about it. I know about the different methodologies. You know, you study all of these things.
Yeah.
But if you're doing a massage, anyone is doing a massage for you, always make sure that they are always massaging towards your heart, because you would know that your veins have these bicuspid valves that are one-way valves that only allow blood to go one way. And if you massage against that, you can be causing a problem for the patient. But yes, I do a combination of things. I always, in my evaluation, try to go to where the problem started, the root of it, and how my goal is to rehabilitate the person. I don't believe in giving people fishes. I believe in teaching them to catch fish. That is helping them to understand how they mismanaged their lifestyle, that it resulted in this condition. Like, for instance, I was speaking to two guys who work in a furniture store, right? But they're not wearing a belt. And they've never studied how to lift things properly. So they are all setting up themselves a serious injury to their back and shoulders and so on. You have to be using your leg muscles. So this is what is involved. I spend time. I only see patients by appointment. There's not a waiting, people waiting there, and there's a rush. I don't rush my patients. I sit, I talk to them, but most I listen to them, because they know themselves better than I will ever know them. And I help them to understand how they have arrived to where they are, their condition. I also understand what will be involved. I get them to buy into it, because when they understand, when they have developed insight, whether it be drug addiction, whether it be a physical condition, they are more like, and I'll tell you something, it's just like, again, your car. You're going on the road and you shut down. You know, you don't know what is wrong. But the minute you find out what is wrong, you get to understand half or three quarter your stress gone. You just know, now I have to buy the parts and put it, or what I need to fix. And a lot of your fears is allayed. So this is why it is important that we in the helping profession sit and spend a little time. I have worked in clinics where I mean, if you ever went to a psychiatric clinic, you'll see there's a whole long line of people outside there, and the clinic has to be finished by a certain time. The doctor comes at 9 o'clock, and we just repeat the meds. You know, you just look at the file, mm-hmm. how things with you, and two questions, and then the person gets the prescription, out they go again. I mean, I'm not blaming the doctors, because when you have a caseload like that, what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And then the patients, our patients are so bright, they'll read the name of the medicine and they don't come back to the clinic to see the doctor. They just go in the pharmacy
and get
and
it.
They buy it.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, you're so right, because one of the main things that persons don't get in the public health system is a listening ear.
Right.
The doctors aren't typically able to, if you have to see 100 persons in a health center a day, right. then it's physically possible to listen to them and listen to the complaints.
Right.
So I mean, just by providing that and be able to understand, I think we need to make some changes there, and that comes with staffing, and that comes with how we deal with the public health system. But I mean, you're
so
able to.
I introduce my patients to things like meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation is what I do myself to prepare myself for this work. Anyone who's working in the helping profession, just to speak to a patient, you're picking up stress. You know, if you're really empathizing. You're going to be stressed out at the end of the day. And most of my colleagues that I work with over the years, I could see they get burnt out. But meditation is one of those things. Physical exercise is very important for us. And listen, if I can't take care of me, there's very little chance I could take care of anybody else, you know. And some of us in the helping profession are not really very good examples of mm-hmm. healthcare ourselves. You mm-hmm. understand? This is why I had to stop drinking before I had the moral authority to tell anybody that they should consider giving it up. You understand? So these are the things I do in my practice. I introduce people to exercise, diet, proper lifestyle changes. Let me just say this. My wife was diabetic for quite a while. Her mother was diabetic. 4 months now, she's off metformin. She's on no medication. Mm-hmm. And her sugar has not been more than 140 over the last 4 months
mm-hmm.
when she checked it in mm-hmm. the morning. And it is because of proper diet, lifestyle changes, and exercise. Because these diabetes, hypertension, is not caused by virus or bacteria. You understand? But yes, if you have these conditions and you want to go now and drink with that, you're setting yourself up for all kinds of problems. You understand? Well, alcohol in itself, you know, not only gets the patient sick, everybody around the patient as well sometimes gets more sick than the patient. You understand? It's a family illness. Yes.
That is so true. And I think we need a lot more time to discuss alcoholism by itself, because I could say it's an epidemic in Trinidad and Tobago, because we have alcohol factories in Trinidad and Tobago. I think they are among the industries that make the most money, some of the industries that make the most money. And we know of the impact, and you're saying it really does affect the entire family. That's true. It affects the family financially, it affects the family socially, it affects the progression of the family as well, because you tend to see these families who are or have a high level of alcoholism within their network, within their family structure. They often are these families who have a lot of conflict. They often are the families who may not invest heavily into other spheres outside of, you know, that entertainment and entertaining themselves. And often it's alcohol is used as a crutch because it's used as a means of getting out of whatever you are temporarily. We need to discuss this some more, Mr. Dwaraka. We need to talk about all of these issues that are facing our society. But of course, today on Diabetes and You, I'm very happy that we did start to have the conversation, talking about acupuncture, talking about your story. I know a lot of persons are very much interested in speaking to you more, hearing about your services, and even being or getting your services, whether it is to treat alcoholism, whether it's a treat pain or some sort of physical issue or disease. I want you to share your contact information. Tell us when you see persons, how can someone make an appointment with you and where you're located. So those of you who are or want to get in contact with Mr. Dorica, get your pen and your paper ready. And Mr. Dorica, you can share your information.
Yes, definitely. I am located in Kakandi Road, Felicity, 171 Kakandi Road, Felicity. It's about two houses from Pierre Road Junction. A lot of people know Pierre Road Junction. My office contact number is 671-3040. That is 671-3040. And I'm sure if people call you, you'll be able to, I am giving you permission to give out the information as well. And just before I came on this program, I know I sent you a post. I do another program on another station on alcoholism and drug addiction every Thursday morning from 9 to 10. So you could locate me there as well. Mm-hmm. And I only see people by appointment because at my age, Dr. Danu, I need to live as well, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I want to spend time with my patients. So if you come to see me, you don't meet a waiting room full of people. I see you when I give you an appointment, I see you at that time. And I give time between patients. I don't see too many people. I see patients from like Monday to Saturday. I only work from 9 to 12, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I love to do gardening. I love to do music. I think I send it in my bio. I compose and sing songs. I have so many other hats, like you say. Yes, I am involved, and I might mention this. I'm a director at the National Council on Indian Culture. We have the month of May dedicated as Heritage Month. And we'll be having a food festival at the end of the month, the 28, 29, and 30th, I think, on all the traditional foods that the immigrants, our ancestors, used to cook, the bhaji and the sarabara and all of those things that have gone out of style. We'll be having that food festival for people who want to come and see and taste what it is.
And that's at the Diwali Nagar?
Diwali Nagar, yes.
Well, thanks for sharing that information, Mr. Dorica. And again, thanks for being with us here today on Freedom 106. Thank you to our listeners. And of course, Tuska, I'm so glad that you're able to share today and be with us today to the whole program.
Not a problem.
Thank you again, Tuska. And we'll meet up again next week. So have a good day, everybody. Bye-bye.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.